Welcome back to Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan. I'm JL Covan here, as always, in the new studio. New studio, new angle every week. Producer Mike is here as well. Hello, Producer Mike.
Hi, everybody. Yes, we are working on making this place complete. It's going to take a while. JL, we kind of have a... This is the best we can do this week. I don't think it looks bad.
No, but, it doesn't.
You know, does it look great? Some would argue not our best yet.
Well, I'd say, I mean, everybody thought that, including myself, thought that final angle from the Williamsburg studio was the best.
Well, yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. We had to move.
It's okay. No, it's okay. It's much like my career. I got a month of glory and then just pain.
Now we'll fix something. We're going to fix it up, but it's going to take a second.
You know? And for those of you that may look on Instagram or YouTube and say, why does Mike even bother with this unsuccessful old man? Well, this unsuccessful old man helped lift an incredibly heavy table, and none of the waif models on the Slickback Studios roster could even come close. So it's about anybody out there. It's about finding your niche in the entertainment business. Mine, heavy lifter of things. That's the role I've worked very hard to carve out for myself in the entertainment business. Mike, I was at Stonewall this weekend because I'm an ally.
Yeah, I've been hearing all about it.
Yeah, we had a show at Stonewall. We were supporting Joe Biden or slash whoever gets the nomination. We raised a lot of money. I did want to say after, I'm a very tough critic on myself after shows, but I just didn't feel like I got the response I was hoping for, especially on some jokes. But I opted not to write, I ate a dick at Stonewall tonight. Because I thought, oh...
Goes both ways.
Now, that said, if I said I ate a dick at Stonewall, some people might perceive that as, wow, brave.
Yeah.
Like, JL's getting, like, JL wasn't getting a lot of traction as the white-looking half-black guy, but as the giant late-to-his-gayness guy, oh, headline, let's get that Netflix special going. So, but I didn't, unfortunately. I did okay. And no penises went in my mouth. So I really didn't need a dick metaphorically or literally that night. But then a fan gave me a ride home. Him and his wife gave me a ride all the way back to New Jersey.
Wow.
Yeah, that was very nice. And then I sucked his dick. You know, when in Rome. Yeah. Right. When you're in Stonewall, they say when in Greece. But no, I'm kidding on that, obviously. But he was a typical fan of mine, which is he found me because he's a hardcore fan of somebody else. But he's a nice enough guy that he's become a fan of mine and like comes to my stuff. Mm-hmm. But my organic fans, nah.
Yeah.
Can't be bothered. But what's going on with you, Mike? I rarely ask you what's happening with you.
Just the same intro every week. It's so funny.
Because you're going to have to do a lot of work in the second half of the show because we're going to be going back and forth.
We're finally, are we teasing what our subject is going to be today?
Yeah, we're talking about bikes. And I'm talking bikes the way, if I said we're talking about cats,
yeah,
not just house cats. We're talking from the house cat to the lion. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a comprehensive look at do two wheels make people pieces of shit? So we're going to talk about all forms of bikes and how really there's an argument against all bike riding of any kind.
We're really going to go at it, I think.
No, that's fine. That's fine. And you will lose. But what happened? Oh, I'm asking you. I rarely do this. I'm usually so obsessed. It's Rain on Your Parade with JL Covan, but I'm saying today. What's going on with Mike?
I don't have much, anything interesting to add, to be honest. I didn't really, the move last week really took a lot out of me. So I spent most of the July 4th holiday kind of recuperating, just kind of hanging at home, did some reading, I was out in the sun. It's unbelievable how hot it is. So I did my best to get out there and do some running and kind of exercise and kind of live it up like a big sweaty fucking pig like I am. Yeah. But
there was a guy whose actual name that was at Stonewall last
big
night.
Sweaty pig.
Big sweaty fucking pig. So yeah. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. I think I met him before.
I was like, do you mind? I need to pee in the urinal. Could you just no, why? Oh, your mouth is the urinal? No, I'm gonna hold it.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's really kind of it. I didn't do anything for 4th of July. I don't have any friends anymore, unless they record in this studio. And
everybody, can you hear? Do you hear the JL-ness me coming becoming out of JL. Mike.
Yeah, I know.
I think somebody, I think I need there to wear times a mask.
I hear it.
I need to wear a mask in the studio from now on because apparently JL is airborne.
You when, know, there's times that like
when hot certain... chicks come in here, he's like, I'm wiping down the surfaces. So you don't I don't want JL, you to get any JL.
There are times, I mean, I'm sure this has happened to you as you get a little bit older. Sometimes you start to hear your dad come out of your like, I'll hear that every now and then from my father, but then there's times where I'm just like, I sound just like JL right now. I need to make some changes.
I can be your father figure. I'm sorry, I'm still in Stonewall mode.
Can I ask though? Do you? My 35th is coming up.
Woo!
Do you get birthday blues?
Oh no!
No.
Like I because every day you got to understand. Every day for me is. I wake up with the thought of why am I up so early? And is this the last day of my life? That's how I get out of bed every day. And then I see Laura and Cookie and I'm like, oh, I got a squad.
Yeah.
Now I don't mean to rub that in because God,
I do not.
Well, yeah, but you are 35 and unattached and there is a deep joy to that as well.
If there is, I have yet to find it.
Oh, see, I got to tell you when I was even at my lowest, when I like, we got to go back 12 years. This is what I was 33.
Yeah.
And that's how I got the woman I had just broken up with.
Right.
You know, she was the one worthy of getting the Timbaland music to stop.
Right.
Like a game of love musical chairs. I said, DJ, I don't need the Timbaland anymore. I'm good.
Yeah.
And I was like for a year. I mean, it led to one of my best albums ever because that's what I do when I'm miserable. I pour it into my art, Mike.
Yep.
But I was hooking up and doing this, but what I really loved about that time was my utter lack of giving a shit. It was like the first time in my life I was just like, I'm fat right now. I don't have a job. Like, and all I did was drink and eat poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I had a joke. I wrote a joke about this where I was like, but I was still hooking up with attractive women. I was like, what's going on here? And I was like, oh, they're messed up. Because in my mind, I'm like, well, yeah, when I'm 28 with a sitting six pack,
yeah,
listening to Coldplay and Timbaland, yeah. Well, of course, I'm doing well.
Yeah.
But then nothing seemed to change on the surface when I was like fat and broke.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, am I just... I guess I've just got it. And I was like, oh no. You're sacrificing some things.
Yeah.
You know, the scouting report, you know, you can't just go by points per game. Sometimes you got to see, you know, how do they practice? How's their work ethic? How's their, anyway, guys, you don't want to hear this stuff, but Mike, 35 for a second, I got happy because I was like, oh, is there going to be a birthday gathering
there? I mean, I think I want to do one. I don't really know.
Just don't pick the one day in August that I have a gig. Literally one day.
Yeah.
And Laura's birthday.
Yeah. When is that?
off mic, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I don't want to reveal that information.
Got it. Fair.
But it's the middle of August.
Okay. Not the 30th. That's my birthday.
August 30th?
Yeah.
Oh, what? No, not August 30th.
Yeah. I've been thinking about it and I'm trying to figure out what you do for your 35th birthday. You know.
You tell all the women you work with to bring their friends and maybe we can be friends.
We've done this already. I mean, I don't think that there's a lot of options left, to be honest.
Oh, wow. Well, that's on
I'm
you.
Old, dude.
No.
I was 20.
Everybody knows what you meant by that.
What?
You've already run through the supply.
No, that's not what I meant by that. Trust me. I think if I was a little bit younger, there was definitely a lot of that when I was younger where I was just like, oh, my friend is blah, blah, blah. Let's, you know. I just think that everybody's married and, you know, involved now. And I'm one of the few that's not. So I'm stuck with these dating apps. You know?
Yeah, I got a story for you about dating apps. And I know some of our listeners are like, when did Mike and JL become bros talking about chicks?
Yeah.
Well, I've been promising Alpha Bro podcasting. And it's just like people who ignored Joe Biden's age. You've ignored my warnings because I've been telling people for months this was coming. Like in Game of Thrones, winter is coming. Alpha Bro is coming on this podcast. But I was on the train coming in, as I always am. It's quite a journey to Brooklyn, but I get my reading in. And this was, if you want to feel better about dating apps, I felt sad, not like sad, like, oh, how pathetic, but just, wow, how sad the human condition. The woman on the train, who's this like kind of short, if I had to guess, you never want to guess a woman's, you know, like, let's say early 50s. Like, I think that's fair. Like, if she told me she was 47, I'd be like, okay. If she told me she was 58, I'd be like, okay. But let's say like early 50s. But she's talking to a woman who I did a quick examination of the calves and the hands, but her face looked like she was like 70. And they were talking about being on dating apps and how she got like stood up by a guy who then like canceled and now, and she just deleted the apps, the woman who works on New Jersey Transit. And the older woman was like, it took me so long, but now I'm with some, and I'm like, Mike needs to hear this, because Mike is like, I don't know. What do you do with the apps? I'm 34 and I'm on a, I've gone to bed alone. 10
and you think this
nights.
Is
going to
make me feel better?
Yeah.
That this woman
downward
got ghosted.
Social and- comparison. You're a 34-year-old man. It could be a lot worse.
Oh, that's not that comforting to me, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, man, not to get into a whole thing about dating here, minutes before we talk about the bikes and why they should all be.
Save it for my Coscarelli rules. Everybody check it out. I listen. I'm the most recent 5-star review, by the way.
Yeah, it's very nice for you. Yeah.
Well, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I'm a man of my word, to quote the Joker.
Yes. Okay. Just, yes. Many have compared you to the Joker. They say, that
not
guy's
yet,
fucking nuts.
They'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I just, it is, this has been my worst dating year by far, and I'm a little shook by it.
Can I ask you a question before we get to main topic? Cause the main topic is going to be a robust half hour of me destroying you on point by point.
Okay.
But, and I know people probably want to hear us talk about the Biden interview. Here's my quick take.
Go ahead.
It did not go well now. And the reason is, if Biden had debated like he interviewed, we wouldn't be in this position. He would have met the minimum requirements of like, he's with it. He wasn't perfect, but fine. We're good. But he needed the interview to be great to overcome the hesitancy during the debate, because of the debate. And it wasn't, let's just be honest. It was not a great interview. It was like mediocre. And I feel for the man. I feel for the pride. I should quit comedy. Like, I should quit comedy before Joe Biden quits the White House, but we might be in the same position in 2025 without a job. But we're going to get back to what we were talking about, but I just wanted to check in with the audience who's like, we've been on such a good politics streak right lately, and now JL's talking about other stuff.
Can't do it every week.
Why is your, because I'm the type of guy, just to give people and you a little insight into how I roll, I'm not somebody who's very comfortable being out in the streets for too long. And I say that because, of course, I liked being single. Some people don't. I had the success I wanted.
Yeah.
Some people might've been like, oh, I was out every night. I don't want that. I like to be in a relationship, but I also am the type of person where it's like, when I start to feel somebody liking me, if I don't feel the same way about them, I've had friends who go, you know, play that legal card of like, well, hey, you didn't promise them anything. I'm like, but I'm a human being who doesn't want to string somebody along. So I would, I've always enjoyed being single. And for the most part, I've always enjoyed being in relationships too. But I feel like, do you think it's you, or do you think it's the culture that's damaging your chances of you want a relationship?
Yeah. Okay. I would like to be with somebody. Yes. That's the goal eventually. Yeah.
But do you think it's like, do you think it's partly you, or do you think it's just the people out there now?
Oh, I think it's partly me for sure. I think I work too much. I mean, there's that. I also think that I have a lot of, but I think it's both. I think it's also, I think it's partly the way that I fit into the culture, mm-hmm. which is really shifted as away from kind of how I was raised, in the sense that like I have a bit of an unhealthy work life balance. Mm-hmm. And some of that comes from, I think, the fact that both my parents have like blue collar work ethics and are kind of, they're not necessarily blue collar people. My mom's a teacher, and my dad just in the 80s when he was in college, just went to college for computers, you know, in the 80s, it was just like, there's this new thing, computers. And like, so my dad has a job with, we don't even really know what the fuck it is, but it's just like something with computers.
Right.
So they're not, it's not like my dad's a plumber or something, but they have that kind of work ethic and so children of immigrants and blah, blah,
hey,
blah.
Hey, Tommy DeVito. No, what's his name? The quarterback for the
Tommy DeVito. Yeah.
Tommy DeVito's dad is a very successful plumber.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm not knocking plumbers. Yeah,
he's
I'm just
my
saying.
Brother's plumber.
No shit.
Like, I mean, oh, his company is, yeah, he's
it's
like
the region, same region. Yeah, yeah.
He's like hugely successful.
Oh, yeah. And I'm not, of course, I'm hardcore working man's man. Right. You know, I love that. But I'm saying, I think that when you're dating in Manhattan,
I just think it'd be better if you used influencer as a derogatory, like to say, it's not like I'm an influencer, because people can sometimes take, I'm not a plumber, as like that used to be a like derogatory
no
thing.
No my point was more that like my they're not like they're
work
not like city
hands,
yeah
right, hands,
right, right 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 but they have that kind of workman's mentality, I think. Sure. They're like hardcore, you know. And I've never been a vacation guy. I see a lot of people on the dating apps, especially when you're trying to date women in Manhattan, they have a little bit of money, or they come from money and they're used to like a certain lifestyle that is just so foreign to me.
Right.
I don't like to fly. I don't like to do a lot of these things that I think culturally now I was never really expecting to have to do as a kid. And I think that is part of it, but I'm a nightmare. I'm sure.
Oh, I wasn't suggesting, but I was just saying,
I think it's both. It's a mix of both.
Right. Because I think one of the keys, and I'm going to say this, and I don't mean this for looks or for attractiveness, but I can tell you, get back in shape. And I know you're trying, as am I.
Do I look not
no,
in shape?
No. But how do you want to lose weight? Do you want to get back to the gym more?
Well, I feel like over the last month, I've been like way more like active, running a lot more. And
well, what I'm telling you is the life you have right now, I get it. You work a lot and you're single. What helped me in my single days was I was also in the best shape of my life. So I would sleep like 4 hours and be fine.
Yeah.
And I'm not suggesting
I can't do that anymore.
No, I'm not suggesting, but I'm saying like at 30, now you're 34, but at 30, I was like maniacal about it, but it worked, because it was like, I'd work, then I'd meet somebody, then maybe we'd hooked up or whatever.
Yeah.
I was that asshole who'd like go for a hungover run while random woman was sleeping in my bed. I'm like, I'll be back showered with a protein shake before she's even up, bro. Like, I kind of had like a, what if American Psycho didn't kill people and went to church?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was kind of but I think, you know, I think as far as the women traveling in Manhattan, I think just you got to sift through the bullshit.
It's a little out of control. Don't you agree?
Well, I mean, as somebody who's, I've been with over 9 years, as somebody who's been off dating app for 9 years, I would say, I don't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, I feel like you, maybe I don't want to turn this in, cause we're going to take a break. Shortly,
yeah.
Cause
sure.
It's hard for me, because when I was really out there, it was like, oh, all the bullshit that women say they give a fuck about. It was like, oh, I had a high paying law firm job. I had just been on fucking TV doing stand up. I was 6'7", like all the dumb superficial, like tall with a good jet. Like, so it was easy.
Yeah.
But now I don't know what's out there, but I'm also, with that seasoning comes, yeah, I don't need the big numbers, but I have enough life experience and I know what I like, that I can sift through bullshit. Like, I'm not interested. Like, I had people that I would be like, oh, and they'd say something, I'd be like, not interested. Just you, and I feel like you need to trust your gut a little bit, but also like find somebody that, like, don't blame your life as like, oh, it's because I'm not doing this.
Oh, I'm not
no,
fully.
No, I know, but like a lot of people work hard. A lot of people work hard, and you know, maybe Manhattan's bullshit. Like, Manhattan is bullshit.
So
are
you sure they got to move back to Jersey?
Well, I'm glad I'm not single in Jersey, because of all the Italians who would connect with me and then read my profile more deeply and unmatch. But I don't know. I mean, like, Queens. Like I mean,
I'm not dating a girl from Queens.
Well, then now it is your fault.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Manhattan dates Manhattan. I'm staying in my borough. What am I going to do? I'm fucking crossing a river to meet some woman.
You can't take the subway?
I'm not doing that.
Oh, I change everything. I said, I blame Mike. I would go like.
I've done it before. It's just like, there's nothing worse than going on a lukewarm date that you travel to like Prospect Heights for or something.
It sucks. I dated a woman for a couple of months. I took fucking like Metro North up to see her in Yonkers.
No.
Like, exactly.
Not going to do that.
You know what? Then I blame you. All entirely.
Why?
You
why?
Because the
love of my life is in Yonkers?
You reap the apathy that you sow.
Oh, it's not apathy. It's not apathy. It's a preference. There's a apathy and preference are not the same thing.
The point of being in New York, though, is it's easy to get like Queens. Queens is tough for you.
Depends on what part of Queens.
No, I mean, not the criminal courthouse in Jamaica, but like... I'm saying there's a lot
like
of...
Like Astoria?
Why not?
Astoria is far. You don't think?
Man, we have different mindsets because to me, I would go... Don't get me wrong. Once I'm dating somebody, like if they live in Queens and they work in Manhattan, I'm like, I know you want me to... And this actually became kind of an argument with somebody that I was in a good relationship with where yeah. I was like, I know you want me to go to your place because it's like, it's my place. So let's go. You can walk to my apartment. So I'll go once in a while in a blue moon out of like obligation and maybe yeah. want to be in your space. I get that. But yeah. it's like, how convenient is this? But if I met somebody, I'd be like, oh, you live in Astoria? Cool. Like it wouldn't be a second thought.
If I met somebody and I was out, mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind. But I'm not going to match with somebody on a dating app and go to Astoria.
So like if you saw the woman of your dreams on a dating app, hypothetically,
she's not in Astoria. I'm
half Jewish, half Italian. I work in entertainment. I'm a hustle. I hustle. I'm looking for somebody similarly motivated and she's like in your dreams, the woman that she like you go, oh, and she lives in Hoboken.
I'd rather Astoria than Hoboken. I'm serious. I'd rather
I'm
go
asking
at least
you,
I can take the subway to Astoria.
Path train.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Okay. So what the woman I just described to you,
yeah.
you'd be like, wow, Hoboken. Nope.
Yeah, probably.
Wow. Okay.
I've turned down women that are attractive in Hoboken that I've just been like, I don't think this is worth it.
Well, I've learned a lot during this segment. Here I was thinking I would buck you up, and now I really have learned that, you know, you deserve Manhattan. I think you are well suited to the culture of Manhattan.
Yeah.
There's some woman out there going, I really like this guy, but I lived below 14th Street.
No,
he said, absolutely not.
Below 14th Street is fine.
But, okay, so...
And up to, like, 110th is fine.
I live in Washington Heights. No. That's a no?
I'd be more open to Washington Heights than... I think Washington Heights is easier to get to than Astoria, to be honest.
Well, because you're on the E train? Is that why you're
thinking? No,
because
I'm on the E bike.
He is the best in the business, folks. Well, we tried to help Mike, and that failed. And now we're really going to rub salt in the wound because we're going to talk about bikes after the break. And they just stopped watching and listening. Well, you're going to miss a gem if you stop. So we'll be back after the break. And we're back, everybody. Mike, how was that break?
You know, a bit tenuous, but...
It's usually Mike's favorite part of the show, but I talked to him during the break, and he was like, I thought I was getting a break, not more show without recording.
Kind of. A little bit of that.
You try to help a friend, you try to commiserate, you try to share some good experiences, and sometimes they get rejected, anyway.
Not rejected.
Just, you know, insulted on the air. Anyway, guys, today I want to talk about bikes, because this has become a real scourge for me. And it's been a long developing scourge. Now, I had a bike, just for way of background. I had a bike with training wheels when I was like 8 years old, 9 years old. And then one day the wheels went off and I could ride a bike. And I outgrew that bike because I'm like a nuclear accident freak. I just kept growing. And then my bike that I loved was no good and I never replaced it. And I haven't been on a bike since I was like 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that you can't. I think I can forget how to ride a bike.
So you can't, you don't think you can ride one?
Don't you think 35 years is a long time to test that theory?
Although it
could just be, if it's an issue of balance that you acquire.
I think as an adult, you kind of develop the understanding of physics a little bit.
I can ride a stationary bike for real good.
I mean, that's not really the same thing.
But. Okay. But bikes I used to have a healthy respect for as athletes, as a way of a clean as way athletes. Of no, I mean like cyclists. I it's guess, a sport. Yeah. It's a healthy, clean way to travel, you know, emissions free unless you're farting a lot, which I'm guaranteeing Mike does on the way home from the studio.
Was that a fat joke?
No, it was a fart joke.
All right. Fat Jeez. People fart a lot, but that's
they okay. do.
Yeah, because you're eating a lot of.
I have burped and farted more since getting out of shape.
Yeah, because usually you're eating things that a lot more cheese and things that make you shit and fart and feel like a fat pig. Anyway,
God, fat pig, my friend from Stonewall just keeps showing up in our conversation. But. But I have come to the conclusion, and like I think I said, I don't know if I said it on the air. I did say it on the air, but the bike world is like the cat world. Like you may think I'm just talking about like ring ring. Hey, look at me. I'm got my paper or I'm going on my city bike to go home. I'm talking about the whole universe of bikes from motorcycles to fucking tricycles, the whole community.
Tricycles.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that.
Yeah.
In. Fucking annoying as hell. But the way cats are not just house cats. You might just think when I say cat, you think house cat, but I'm saying cats like from tigers and lions to house cats. Mm-hmm. Every level of bicycles at this point, it's become some sort of weird, entitled community that I don't quite understand and I definitely don't like. Now, Mike, you bike to and from work every day.
I bike everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And do you bike or do you, like the e-bikes, is it just power itself or do you pedal?
You pedal, but it's kind of like an assisted ride. It's not quite a moped where you could just kind of ride it or a dirt bike or something like that. You do have to pedal, but it's not the same as like pedaling a real bike where that, like, you know, going up a hill. It's, I mean, yeah.
Okay. I thought I was going to have more of a challenge, but clearly Mike is not going to. It's Joe Biden.
What did you
time.
Want me to challenge?
I know, but I can tell. What?
You just asked me a question.
I can tell you're going to defend bikes the way Joe Biden defended his record.
Hey, man.
Looking forward to this. Hey, man, I fell off a bike, Jack. Now, I'll start at the top, okay? Motorcycle clubs,
yep.
Motorcycles. Criminals, scumbags, ignore traffic laws. They will, 300 brutish hate crimes waiting to happen, just ignoring lights. You know, you're familiar with these when you ever see
like
these guys.
Hell's Angels and
all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. Oh, our club, yeah. My cut. You can't wear this until you fucking punch a chick in the face and ignore traffic lights, brother. Sons of Anarchy, the whole deal. Garbage, yeah. Garbage people. I know everybody needs a club, but. You know, these from ignoring traffic laws to dealing drugs, motorcycle clubs, you know, nobody would like they are the kind of apex predator of the bike world, literally, because I think they probably kill people.
Yeah.
So and on 2nd Avenue, like before 9/11 every year, I don't know if you've experienced this. There will just be like 400 motorcycles just going down 2nd Avenue. Traffic lights be damned. Mm-hmm. So let's just start at the top. Awful. Okay. Motorcycle, super dangerous. Hey, do you know a nice guy who died prematurely? Chances are it was because of a motorcycle. Okay. Which proves the GOAT status of Tom Cruise. It proves the GOAT status of Tom Cruise because he's the only one. He is motorcycle proof. He's like a stunt motorcyclist. He trained himself to be like a stunt motorcycle driver.
Yeah.
And so he can't be beat. But that only elevates Tom Cruise. That doesn't elevate motorcycles.
Right.
Now, on the apex of the cycling, of the standard bicycle, is cycling, like Olympic cycling, Tour de France type shit. Lance Armstrong, I rest my case. You know? I rest my case.
That he's...
The apex of the profession, terrible person.
Yeah. Yeah, fair.
Okay?
Bad guy.
Bicycles, bad for your sperm count. The seats.
Is that true?
That's what I've heard. We didn't do all the research for this, but some of this will be anecdotal.
Okay.
So
that's big time anecdotal.
The very structure of the bike is bad for men.
Okay.
Okay. So
I don't know if that's true, but we'll let it ride.
Best Lance Armstrong joke I ever heard was from a woman, and I'm forgetting her last name, Hillary, God, I forget, but like did open mics with many years ago, but she had said, at the time Lance Armstrong was dating Sheryl Crow.
Yes.
And Sheryl Crow had gotten breast cancer. And she said, well, that's the last time she lets Lance Armstrong come on her tits. And I thought that is strong.
Yeah.
That's a strong joke.
Yeah, that's good.
Hillary Schwartz, just to give credit. I don't want people to credit me. So we look at the top tiers, motorcycles, awful people.
Yeah.
Disruptive, like a disruption physically and auditory, whatever, you know, for your
audibly.
Audibly. But yeah. I forget what the, don't you ever hate when you can actually say like oral is also ear, not O, but A-U-R-A-L has to do with the ear, not the mouth. But oral with an O obviously means mouth.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I was looking for the right adjective there. But okay, so how do you feel about motorcycles? How do you feel about professional cyclists?
I don't like motorcycles.
Okay, point
I don't,
for me.
I don't like, I do think motorcycle, point for you. I'm defending all bikes in general.
We're just going to go layer by layer. Like,
because I do think, I do dislike.
Kamala Harris, I'm going to prosecute the case against bikes.
Because, listen, motorcycles don't do you any favors when you're riding, when you are riding a normal bike. So outside of just that, I mean, I've seen some horrific motorcycle accidents that that have happened in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I am not into motorcycles. And I do think they are loud and annoying. And usually guys that ride motorcycles are fucking just awful to be around. Nightmares. Cyclists, I mean, you know, if we're putting them all on the professional level, I don't have much of an opinion. I mean, I don't like Lance Armstrong, but like, yeah, I do think that like guys that get dressed up to go cycling are dorks, you know, like you see the guys that wear like the fucking, like the speed helmet and the bodysuit. I mean, like nothing is more of a fucking like, stupid dorky thing to wear. I don't even know what else to say. I was trying to think of another thing to say, but it's just like, if a woman saw a man dressed like that, how could she ever sleep with him again?
Well, if you're ever at a loss for what to say during this podcast, you can just say, let's get real, man. Come on.
Yeah, I'm with you so far.
Okay, so professional cyclists, it's kind of the Kenny Powers joke.
Yeah.
Of, oh, I'm training for a triathlon. You know how that is. Actually, I don't. I play real sports.
I play real sports. Not trying to be the best at exercise.
So cyclists, I know it's a good exercise, but I don't know what it is when dudes get raised to the highest level of like fourth tier sports that they somehow become bigger, like seem to be bigger assholes
yeah.
than like top tier dudes in real sports.
Yeah.
But anyway, motorcycles are, and motorcycle clubs, a much bigger problem than professional cyclists. So I really don't have much of a beef with professional cyclists. It's just that their most famous one ever, douche.
Yeah.
Okay. Respect it. I actually respect them, but apparently not a great guy, not a nice guy. Okay. So now we scale it down. Okay. So those are the big dogs.
Yeah.
But now we've got the, first of all these vehicles, there's so many vehicles now on the road, like on sidewalks and stuff, like these wheeled scooters, or like I kind of lump them in as like cousins of bikes.
Okay.
But e-bikes, what you take, or any difference between e-bikes that you take and what the delivery guys
yes.
do?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so who should we talk about first?
Well, they're different. I mean, so there's the e-bike that is it's sort of almost like a Vespa on steroids mm-hmm. in a way. That those you don't pedal, they're closer to motorcycles than
right.
The city bike e-bikes are bicycles.
They're street legal.
Yeah.
Like, cause they have to be, they're obviously put out by the city.
They basically just, they give you a little boost when you're riding the bike. Like you go forward.
Like taking a Sudafed before you're going to run a race.
The Sudafed gets you up.
That was the thing. It opens your lungs.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I had a kid on my college team. It was so annoying. He would do Sudafed before practice. So he would win sprints. I was like, this is bullshit. And then he'd play in a game.
Yeah.
And be like winded, and it'd be like, yeah, you can't trust this dude's practice.
Yeah, right.
At least take the drugs before the game also.
Right.
But the e-bikes, they're dangerous. These like street illegal ones with the like NAS the delivery, thing connected to it.
Yeah.
And I can't completely blame the delivery guys because that's a function of our society, our increase in, you got to get me my food. I ordered a sandwich. You got to kill some people for me to get my sandwich. I didn't want to leave my house. Get me my sandwich.
Yeah.
But those e-bikes, they're almost like, the reason they suck is A, they're illegal, B, they're dangerous, and C, they're the manifestation of our own laziness. They're the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man to our Ray.
Yeah.
It's like, think of something lazy that's going to hurt the environment and the people around you. I didn't think of anything. I just thought of, how can I get easy food delivery? What's that coming down the sidewalk? An immigrant going 40 miles an hour about to kill that old lady? Ray, what did you think of? I couldn't help it. I was hungry.
What an insane reference. But yeah, it does work.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Insane and does work is how I define myself.
Yeah.
But so e-bikes are like this new menace of the bike world.
They're bad for people that ride bikes too. I mean, they are when you're riding in the bike lane in New York, and you're riding a city bike e-bike or a city bike, a more normal bike.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're zipping around. They're like, they're making turns without signaling. They are, and a lot of them, unfortunately, like I hate to make it about this. I do think there is a level of people that are not from this country that just will go grab one, start doing these deliveries, and not learn anything about the way that like the driving system in this country works. You know what I mean?
So you're saying build the wall.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, you know, I wish that these guys were a little more careful. And there's times where there are people literally like looking at their phone while they're driving these things.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be a bit much, and those guys are not the most, safe drivers on the
road.
Well,
when you escape like genocide and then you're here.
Listen,
you're like,
I get it.
Hey, this is pretty safe to me.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
But, and you like, I think, you know, we used to have Domino's had a promise that they had to get rid of. We'll get you your pizza in 30 minutes or less. Like two people died. And they're like, promotion.
Is
over.
That really what happened?
I think some people died.
Like Domino's delivery drivers?
No, like they hit something. They were like, 28 minutes. Brr. Oh, they went Fast and the Furious.
I know you're on the crosswalk. I have to get this pizza.
I don't have friends. I got pizzas. And I think there were some deaths. I sound like Paul Reiser in Aliens. Unfortunately, there was some malfunctions and there was some deaths involved. What a great old fucking 38-year-old reference.
Oh, yeah.
But it is a classic. I hope you agree.
Yeah. Aliens. Okay. Yeah, great.
Aliens. But what we replaced the Domino's drivers killing like one person a year, we now have e-bikes, which are killing dozens of people a year. Some are just e-bike riders.
Probably, yeah.
Right. So great job, bike technology. We were better when it was just Domino's mowing down one old lady a month or a year.
JL, do you not think that the increase, I don't think that this, hey man, we're doing the best we can here. No, I think that I do think the increase in the fact that, especially Justin, if we're just talking about New York, the increase in the fact that every single restaurant now delivers.
Yes.
And there is a need for these guys on the e-bikes. I blame
right. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are no longer on horses. They're on e-bikes.
Yep.
So when you see your last moment before going to judgment, it's not going to be a horseman. It's going to be Saeed going 40 miles an hour, staring at his phone, hoping he doesn't get reported to immigration.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get your food on time. And he's mowing down somebody.
Yep.
So But I would say that the bikes are the, like I said, with my great Ghostbusters analogy, the bikes are the manifestation of our own failures as people in a society now, you know? So once again, the bikes, if it's not the bike, in some cases, it's what the bike represents, is a curse on society, a blight. Now city bike, you use city bike.
Yep.
And, I feel like once we got city bike, who brought that in? Was that Bloomberg? Was he the one who spurred that on?
I don't know for sure, but that sounds like a Bloomberg
initiative. Yeah, it probably started under de Blasio, but it may have been like,
oh,
it was.
I think it was here before de Blasio.
It was. Okay.
It had to be. Yeah. Okay. It's been here for a while. It's been here for as long as I've lived in the city.
Well,
it's, sure.
I was still living in Manhattan, but I voted for de Blasio first term. So I don't know when it was.
I was 23 the first time I took one. And so that means they've been here for over 10 years.
Oh, okay. So Bloomberg. You know,
yeah.
Now with the city bike, I wouldn't really have an issue with the city bike. It's like emissions free, relatively affordable. But we also then had to make the city, and I don't know what it's like in other parts of the country. Who gives a shit, really?
Yeah, right.
It's New York City.
Agreed.
By the way, everybody, every Republican who doesn't listen to this show, New York City and the swamp and Philadelphia, all these liberal prosecutors, all these Los Angeles Den of Sinners. Everybody wants to visit our places and everybody wants to attack our places. Why do you think that is? Because we've got shit.
Yeah.
We are awesome. There's problems, but you're safe because you live in a fucking turd.
Yeah.
So be I've always said I think it's jealous. It's an intimidation factor and a jealousy factor, because it's like, I think if 9/11 happened today, I think we're that different a country. Wow, this took a left turn without a signal, like all these bike riders. If 9/11 happened today, well, New York, I mean, you know, that's what you get. Liberals, that's what you get. I feel like there'd be a lot more people. They wouldn't be able to live on the xenophobia alone and the hate of foreigners. They'd still be like, wouldn't happen in my town. Like, what's that guy who's fucking fucked around in a small town? What was the John Cougar Mellencamp? No, the guy who sang the song about don't try that in a small town. That was like viral for a little bit.
I don't know.
Okay. You know, I'm not a big country music fan, but it was a big story. I forget who it was. Jason Aldean.
Mm.
Yeah, he did. So anyway, moving on. With the city bikes came this emphasis in the city of like, let's make more bike lanes. Let's make biking. Let's make it clear that cyclists are owed more respect than pedestrians. I feel like cyclists, and now I want to just get to the main part, which is just the everyday bike rider. I don't know how you bike ride. And maybe I don't want to know. Maybe I don't, I want deniability, plausible deniability to say, you know, you're a good bike rider. But bike riders in the city, and it's probably like this in a lot of places, generally seem to be the type of people who are like, I want pedestrians to treat me like a car, and I want cars to treat me like a little old lady with a walker. You can't have both. And this is why I say it's not just Lance Armstrong. It's not just the Hell's Angels. It's not the least culpable, in my view, are the immigrants just trying to make ends meet, being, I call them food slaves in my act. If Warren Sapp could say NFL players were like slaves, I can certainly say foreign guys being browbeaten into making food deliveries at supersonic speeds are as well. It's the average cyclist that's the real problem, and that shows you the rotten core of bike riders. So many bike riders, I would say less than half in my experience of witnessing, do obey traffic. They're supposed to act like a vehicle. None of them do. And I bet you don't either.
I mean, to what degree?
Go through red lights. If you're clear, go through red lights.
If I'm clear, I do go through red lights.
Okay, yeah. Strike one. Do you signal? Do you do like hand signals and
most
stuff?
Of the time, yeah.
All right, I respect that. Do you go blazing through bike lanes and yell at people when they accidentally stepped off the sidewalk, not realizing that there was another lane of vehicles right there?
Yes, that I do. 100%. And that people are wrong to do that. Yes.
Oh, I learned my lesson.
Don't step into the fucking street.
I did learn my lesson once, but when they first put them in, when they were brand new.
That's fine. They're not new.
They're not. But when they first put them in, I don't think the guy got mad, but that was probably because I'm a big guy. If I was like a little old lady, he'd be like, move it, bitch. Ring,
ring. Do you know why I yell at people for that, JL?
Why?
Because I have been in the bike lane, which is the street, which is the place that you are supposed to be riding the bike, not weaving in and out of traffic, making things unsafe.
Or on the sidewalk, like so many bike riders. Correct. In Jersey, this is an epidemic.
Yep.
The bike riding on the sidewalk is very annoying because they will ride, like, speed up on you,
which I do.
What the fuck?
Which I do not do, and I get mad at people when they do it.
Okay,
I stay in the bike lane as I'm supposed to, and I've been doored before on bikes.
Whoa!
When people will just not pay attention, and you're riding in the lane that you're supposed to be in, and someone will just fling the door open from their cab or their Uber, and then they yell at you.
Right?
They yell at you that you are riding in the bike lane, they didn't look to open their door, and all of a sudden, it's on you that they fucked up, and now you're bleeding, and they're yelling at you. So, no. I mean, listen, if we're gonna have the bike lanes, which we have, then you guys have to fucking follow the rules, too.
Which I do, and I don't open my cart. Like, I am, as you can imagine, very conscientious. You know, I've never gotten out in the bike lane without checking, ever. Yeah. So I stand with strong moral authority for this discussion, as I always do. But I just think there's something that happens when you put a human being on two wheels, that they get this sort of superiority. They start to feel like they're like maybe a centaur or something. Like, oh, look, I'm human from the top up, but I'm a powerful machine from the waist down. Mm-hmm. And I think it's toxic, and I think it's a problem, and I think we should ban bicycles in the city. Plain and simple.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
I think we should have more bicycles in the city.
I think
we should cut cars by like 20%.
Here's what I want. Congestion pricing for cars and double congestion pricing for bikes.
Double congestion pricing for bikes.
You want to ride your bike in the city? That's $30 a day.
Why?
Because they're terrible people.
So this has to do with people. The fact that it's better for the environment doesn't mean anything to you. The fact that it is the fastest way to get around the city
means
nothing to you.
Being dead is not good for my environment when a bike crashes into me.
When has that happened?
Well, it doesn't, because I am blessed to scare bike riders.
So you've never been hit by a bike.
I'm speaking for those lesser than me.
But you've never been hit by a bike.
I've been hit by a car, bro.
Okay, but you haven't been hit by a bike.
When I was four.
So this whole argument that
that's when I discovered I was a goddamn superhero.
But have you witnessed somebody get hit by a bike? Have you seen it?
I know my best friend's sister was once hit by a bike and like,
okay, once.
Seriously. I've witnessed aftermath. You know what I mean? Like I've witnessed like, and then my favorite, and I have this on my Twitter from like 6 years ago, this woman turned your block, I won't identify it, but that block, like
our block.
I had stepped out from my building and there was this little cyclist woman turning it into Tiananmen Square, just standing there. The traffic was backed up beyond First Avenue. And she was going, you cut me off. Like she was just in the middle of the street and he was like, move. And she was basically daring them to run her over. And I said, this is the problem with cyclists. They think like she thought that the news coverage was going to be like showing her like the Chinese guy stepping in front of the tank at Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
Are you too young for that?
No, I mean, yes, but I know what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like with this woman. And that was when I really started to turn on cyclists, because then I posted that as a joke. And it was like my first, other than the Louis C.K. video in 2013. This was like my second viral moment on social media, because the cycling community, do you know how many of us get killed every year? Do you, like, as if they are like fucking, you know, suffering the Rwandan genocide.
Well, no, but I think that your counterpoint to all
but
of this,
they
is
never
that-
take the amount of bad psych. There's plenty of bad drivers and there's plenty of bad people on, but to quote Trump, to paraphrase Trump, there's bad people on both sides. Driving and cycling.
But the disadvantage you have as a biker is that people automatically hate you, both riders and both drivers and pedestrians.
Right.
So you are treated with So you're treated with no respect from anybody.
Yes.
Which means that when you're riding out there, you have to essentially be double safe to make sure that you don't get killed by a car or somebody just steps in.
And dude, yet so many of these bike riders are not safe.
Riding a bike below 14th Street with all the bars and all that stuff, especially on the east side, that was how I usually would ride to get home. I've switched, changed my route so I don't get killed. But I mean, it's impossible. People are just in the street. They're walking in the bike lane like they would just walk in the middle of the street. So you get no respect from anybody out there in the street when you're riding. So it does make it a less safe place for you to be riding in this entire city. I get it. If I was riding a bike on the highway, then I can understand people being like, get the fuck out of here. You're not a car. You're right. I'm not a car. That's why I'm riding in the bike lane on Second Avenue. The place where I'm supposed to be, where you're supposed to not, you know, walk in front of me or step in front of me while I'm riding. I have my head on a swivel when I'm riding the bike, but I shouldn't have to be nervous at every second that somebody is either going to just like pull up and double park in the bike lane and somebody's going to step in front of me because they're taking a selfie or they're getting out of a cab and they're not paying attention. People need to pay attention. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That's really.
You make a fair case. I mean, you've Ron Kubied the best you can for the biking community.
That's right.
But he was quoted today in an obituary a lot because
who's like obituary?
Some and I'm forgetting the name, but a very big time sort of progressive attorney.
Okay.
Kubi was quoted twice in the article.
My guy.
I thought of you.
Yeah.
But I think my question is almost chicken or the egg. Which came first? The mistreated cyclist or the douchebag on a bike?
That's a tough thing to answer.
Because what I see is I would happily take the side of a cyclist. In fact, I saw it the other day. I saw somebody do what you were saying. They either jumped into the bike lane or something, and the guy kind of did like a, hey, like the cyclist. Like he looked like he was winning a race for a moment. Like he put up both hands up, like he crossed the finish line, but he was really just exclaiming what an asshole the person was. And I was like, okay, point for you, cyclist. Like, you're right. You're in the right. But I see far more cyclists and people on wheels. And I think as the city has become more pervasive, you know, they were the gateway drug into just wheels everywhere. People on Segways, people on motorized skateboards, on scooters. The floodgates have opened, and it was the all bikes are welcome in our city thing that I think opened up this like, yeah, why would I walk anywhere? Let's just get on wheels and safety be damned. I see way more bike riders ignoring. And I would say going through a light is ignoring the traffic rules. So you're not innocent here, Mike.
Well, I admit that I do that, but I don't do it unless I have come to a complete stop and I am in the clear. So yeah, that is breaking the rule.
I don't believe that because that's not as fun.
No, trust me. Listen,
okay.
Kenny DeForest, rest in peace.
Oh geez,
a great comedian who I was acquainted with. I can't say that I was good friends with Kenny. I knew him a little bit. He was a great guy, but he died on a bike in December, I believe. So I was safe before that, but since Kenny, I stop at every intersection, even if I have the light. Just
Your
to
Honor,
make sure.
I want the sympathetic comments struck from the record. They have nothing to do with this fun podcast. He's trying to win on sympathies of a beloved man taken far before his time.
Yes. But yeah, since then, especially then, that's the thing. When you ride bikes, you tend to eventually hear about other people that ride bikes and accidents that they might have been in or, bad things that, and it does force you to sort of be a little safer. So yes, going through the red light is bad, but like I said, I will never go through a red light unless I have completely stopped, checked to see if anybody was coming, and either I don't put anybody in danger when I do it. Now, yeah, I treat it more like a stop sign than a red light, but it's in fairness, yes, I should wait for the light to change, and I don't unless somebody's coming.
So you're barely better than the Hell's Angels, basically.
Yeah, I'm just like the Hell's Angels.
You pause, they don't even pause. That's basically what distinguishes roving biker gangs and a good citizen bike rider. I think I can almost rest my case, and I'm sure you want me to.
Yes, I would like to. But might be time for a break.
All right. We're going to break. But I wanted to get that out because I just think from the top to the bottom, the biking world is just full of, I don't know if it corrupts you getting on two wheels. Like I said, maybe you feel like you're now part man, part machine, you know, like a Terminator.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not just tough guys on bicycles. Just everybody, you get on that bike and you're like, hey, you see a lot. Hey,
yeah,
get the fuck out of my way.
People fuck with you.
But there's a lot of, I think it goes both ways.
All I'm saying is when you are riding a bike, you feel like the entire world is trying to kill you, at least in New York City. You feel like everybody just says, fuck it. Who cares? Who cares if I run this guy on the bike over? The world will not miss him because there are people like JL Covan who want these people dead anyway. I'll get the sympathy of my peers.
I'm busy on the subway defending innocent people from attacks from crazy people. And also, you know, using public transportation to not contribute to climate change. So if you learned anything on this episode, and I guarantee you didn't, bike riders are generally ne'er-do-wells, and I'm a hero, and I'm not afraid to call out the people ruining our society, whether they be on two wheels, three wheels for those annoying tricycle riders, unicycles. Unicyclists who are just trying to be quirky.
Yeah.
Hate them. But bike riders, I'm never going to ride a bike anymore. And one of them tried to take out Joe Biden. A bike tried to take out Joe Biden, like a Stephen King novel, like Christine. The bike tried to kill our president. Well, let's take a break and we'll be back with some comedy talk.
And now, from the Slickback Studios newsroom in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, here is Scott Pelley with a Rain on Your Parade special report.
Good evening. This is Scott Pelley on assignment from 60 Minutes with J.L. Covan's Punchdown of the Week. J.L. wrote earlier this week, President Biden says he needs to get more sleep. I wonder if Trump will come up with a nickname for that. And on Twitter, or X as it's now known, Mike, somebody wrote, you mean Sleepy Joe? Bin had that nickname. And then on Threads, somebody responded to the same JL joke. He's already Sleepy Joe. Mike?
Scott, always great to see you. Appreciate you coming by. JL, you're back.
Yeah. I mean, I thought new studio. He hasn't
gotta
been
bring
here
Scott
yet.
In. Yeah.
You know, I think he likes the bigger space.
Yeah. Even though it's a little hot in here.
Oof. I just realized that the AC that was so welcoming when I got here.
Oh, you need it off to record.
Oh, that's a real... Interesting. What a dilemma.
Yep.
Classic bike rider.
We're going to have to fuck you.
Hey, you can have a show or you can have comfort. Which is it, JL? Well, the great thing about that punchdown of the week, and I read both punchdowns because they basically said the same thing, is our loss of sarcasm as a society in the humor. I have said that on stage sometimes where I go, oh, I'm sorry. I was using this new technique, that's been going around comedy called sarcasm. So you may have, it's the hot new thing on the street. And it's fun because you're layering sarcasm on top of them not getting sarcasm.
Yeah, yeah.
And at least it becomes like an inception for my satisfaction, but no one else's.
Yeah.
But I just thought I was pretty clear. President Biden says he needs to get more sleep. I wonder if Trump will come up with a nickname for that. It was like, haha.
Yeah.
But no. People were like, dummy, he already has sleepy. Oh, one of the people I responded, oh, and let it be like, just let it sit there. No specials this week. Didn't watch any specials, although I would highly recommend there's this new great one on Amazon Prime called Half Blackface. We're in the 40s now. The reviews are in the 40s, Mike.
That's good.
I asked for 100. I've asked thousands of fans to get me to 100, and we're getting there at an incredibly slow pace, everybody. But if you have Amazon Prime, go check out Half Blackface. Tell a friend, share it with a friend. I got a bunch of gigs coming up. Just go to my calendar. St. Paul, Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Jersey, a bunch of shows coming up. So get your tickets now. But I want to tell you about a movie I watched. So I did not watch any specials this week, but I watched the Zac Efron, Nicole Kidman rom-com called A Family Affair, where Zac Efron is a stuck-up movie star and begins sleeping with his assistant's mom.
Cool.
Yeah. And Nicole Kidman looks great for 57, you know? And Zac Efron looks great for any age, except his face, because of surgery, is very big now. He's got like, he fucked up his jaw. He like fell in his house on like a granite, basically on like this table.
Yeah.
Like chin first, and it busted his face. And that's tough. That would be like, you know, if I fell and lost my ability to impersonate.
Right.
You know, Zac Efron losing his face.
Big deal.
Is a big deal. Now, he still looks good. If you didn't know what he looked like before, you'd be like, hey, he's still good. But you know what he looked like before. But this dude is on that Hugh Jackman Wolverine diet. He is jacked. It's like comical.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he was coming off of the Iron Claw or getting ready for the Iron Claw. Yeah. Like, because the Iron Claw, he's basically this jacked, but with more veins.
Yeah.
But he's got to be on stuff.
I hear many of the men in Hollywood are.
Yeah. Ozempic, right?
No. I think steroids are like a really big thing in Hollywood.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, to be honest. But he is jacked in this movie. And it's not a good movie. I'm sorry, Zach. Yeah, you had a good one with the Iron Claw, Nicole Kidman. You're an Oscar winner. This movie is, I think, number two on Netflix right now, behind Axel Foley, which I probably would have been better off watching Axel Foley.
Yeah.
Instead of this.
I'm not going to do it.
But I heard it's bad.
Axel Foley?
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Right.
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, it's the kind of thing where it's like, but if Eddie Murphy still has, you know, It's like watching a bad team, but the star player can drop 40, maybe makes it worth...
Not anymore.
You don't think he's got it?
Not anymore.
This is a hot take. Eddie Murphy.
Is it a hot take
done.
That Eddie Murphy, one of my favorite, done. One of my favorite people ever, my pop, probably my greatest comedy influence, other than Mel Brooks and maybe George Carlin. Eddie Murphy is my guy.
Wow, he went from 1 to 3 very quickly.
No, he's probably like 2A.
So that's
like
why why you wore the leather pants on stage when you perform. Okay.
I always thought, I mean, Raw was the when I was a kid and saw Raw for the first time, I mean, I can't think of another thing that made me laugh harder. And I love the first two Beverly Hills Cops movies. I think the second one is actually one of the best sequels ever made. One of the rare, maybe this movie is better than the first one.
Is it The Godfather 2 of Beverly
Comedies?
Hills Cops?
Yes. I guess so. It's great. But I mean, 3 is so bad. And he didn't have it in 3. He was closer to having it in 3. But it's just Axel Foley lives in a period of time.
Right.
Axel looks like that. I mean, he's got to be young Eddie. I don't want to see old Axel doing anything, in my opinion. It's the same reason I didn't even watch the second Coming to America they did. You know, like, if Eddie wants to do new stuff, maybe he can still, but let that stuff, all this IP that they do now, let this stuff sit in the past. I don't need a new version of these things.
It'd be nice if they will, but they'll never let anything sit.
No, I know.
We live in basically Hollywood is like fucking high-priced grave robbers.
Yes.
They're like, what's that? Something was successful 38 years ago.
Yeah,
let's
right.
get it. Because and people eat it up.
Yeah.
People, you know, but I think this movie, A Family Affair, it started mildly humorous. Like Zac Efron playing like the dumb Hollywood guy is like not bad.
Yeah.
But we stopped watching it after an hour and 10 minutes. And I challenge anybody in the comments to tell me otherwise on Bikes or A Family Affair. I am 100% right this episode. But that's it. I didn't watch any specials. I tried to watch a comedy and it turned out to be funny for about 20 minutes, but a pretty bad movie. Like, it's one of those movies where it's like, this even under the contrived setups of rom-coms, this makes no sense. Like, you meet this Hollywood star who's your daughter's boss, and within like an hour and a half, you're fucking in the house. And your daughter, now that was funny. The daughter walked in on them. Mm-hmm. That was like the peak of the movie, peaked there.
Okay.
And then they end up being like, no, but I really like her. It's terrible. As you can imagine, it's terrible.
Yeah.
The mom that would sleep with the 58-year-old mom that would sleep with Zac Efron in that situation is like a real housewife, Bravo type scumbag woman.
Like Ramona Singer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not a, I love my daughter and I just, oh, you're so good looking. And no, it would be like, yeah, get over it, honey.
Yeah.
I fucked your boss. He's a Hollywood star. You're a piece of shit.
Yes.
Get out of my house.
Yeah.
I would actually think that would be a darker, funnier comedy. We're redoing it, guys. We're going to redo it. Mike wants us out of here. But we're going to redo this movie. Much funnier if Nicole Kidman is like a Bravo mom.
Yeah.
And the daughter is like, I'm just want to be normal. And then she walks in and her mom's getting plowed by a Hollywood. And it's like, mom, what are you doing? It's like, get out of here. Go to your father's. That'd be dark, but it'd be funnier. A Family Affair, not funny. Sorry, Zac Efron, but you look great. You're bizarrely buff at this point. It's like, it's no longer like Hollywood buff. It's like, are you going into competition soon?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to just show up to auditions now. Oh, he probably doesn't have to audition. And just do like the like thigh quad flex,
mm-hmm.
like he's on stage for Mr. Olympia. Anyway, guys, Mike wants to get out of here. I'm sweating. Cyclists stink. Not almost as bad as A Family Affair. Watch Half Blackface. Come to my live shows. Mike, anything to say before I tell these people to go away?
You guys know what to do. We do tell you the same thing every week. Go over to YouTube, leave a comment on the video.
Like, and subscribe to Slickback Studios also. Support please, the studio. Yeah. The reason I have a better podcast, both in video and audio and structure, is because of the man behind Slickback Studios, which is nice. Mike.
Yeah. Yeah, so go ahead and do that. And if you're an audio listener, leave a review on Apple. I always tell you, if you watch on YouTube, check us out on audio. If you're an audio listener, check us out on video. And on YouTube, you can watch the video. And you can see everything that's happening in here, which is always very fun. So obviously, leaving comments on anything that we post helps the algorithm. I know your audience is a little bit older, but you should know that by now. And
they've been doing a good job, I think.
They have been, yeah. The YouTube, the comments on the YouTube are popping off. Even the one that called you fat this week, JL.
Yeah, but I mean, it's true, but I didn't like the false, hey, don't want to offend.
Yeah.
Nope. Yeah. That I don't believe your false modesty. I don't believe your sensitivity.
Yeah. So
you just wanted to get that out there.
Right. So just do all that, and we will see you guys next week.
And that's not our sign. That's not our proper sign off.
It was just my sign off.
We will see you next Thursday.